understand that he prepared 4 hours to give this year. I feel very guilty. If I prepared 4 hours like a good boy, so it take me 4 hours to the Bali, 4 hours to the Shalmi every day, so I don't know when I would have time. What? That's right. We are on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. We're talking about the type of rope with which you measure the 2,000 amos. And we mentioned that, ideally speaking, it would be wonderful if you would use an iron chain, because an iron chain doesn't expand or contract. And that's where you're up to. Vis tani tani. And there, in fact, those who learned, it's four lines after the Mishnah. Lamadal on a base. You have two Lamadal? You don't have a Lamad Hey. There are two Lamadals here, Gemara? No, it's a mistake. Though that second Lamadal is really Lamad Hey. Okay, but it's really Lamad Hey. Okay, so. When the Talacha came with in the Gemara, the fourth line down. Vis tani tani bechevel shell, instead of being shalosh lachach be shel shellis. Be best to use a metal chain to measure distance. Vis tani tani bechevel shell, Abraham said, others who learn that you can use a rope which is 4 amos long. Neither of these are the opinion of our Mishnah. The opinion of our Mishnah is when uses a regular hemp rope which is 50 amos long, right? Amrei Bishra, Ein L'chamida Shel Emes. There's no truer measure, Ella, and it should be again Shel Shelas, other than a chain. Avamaya said, what can I do? Uksib Nevim, it says in Navi, Chavolim, rope, Upsil Pishtim, and a braid of linen, Biyodo, Uvikone Amida, and that was the scale of measure. So the bottom line is we use rope, even though it's less exact than a steel chain. Now let's say the guy had between him. Yeah. All right, I grant you that's poetic license. It has the poetic license. You're right. It's not. He's obviously not stuck. But what he means is Chazal or Mekel. He brings in a smachta for it. You're right. I understand that it's a little bit too strange a language, but I don't have a good explanation for that. What we're saying here is like this. Now, this is approximate, but you see a river in the distance, and it's 75 amas between where you're standing right now and the river. So your rope is 50 amas long. How do you measure those 75 amas? It could be any other measure. It could be 70, 80, 62. 53. The bottom line is it's more than 50, right? So how do you measure the intercept more than 50 and less than 100? So how do you measure the distance between where you're standing and the river? Okay, so he says, train amorim. This is machlokas to amorim. Chadar, I once said, moide b'chevel shechai mishim amor. You measure with a rope which is 50 amos long. Then b'chevel achor b'sim v'chamei shnei amor. Then you go back 25 amos, right? And moide and, that's all it says. You go back 25 amos, you measure another 50 amos. So you measure 50, you go back 25, and then take the rope and measure 50. But you always got to use the 50 rope. The upshot of this Gemara is that you must use the 50 rope. And somehow you got to make it work out. The other man, Domar, says, the first 50 amos you measure with the 50 amos rope. The rest of the distance up to the river, you use a rope which is 4 amos long. That was a shorter rope. So to cover shorter distances, they in fact had access to a shorter rope for measuring. Okay? When they needed a pinch, they use it. Let's say you had a gorge in your eruv, right? So the gorge actually was narrow on top, was there, and then it went wider on the bottom. Like a canyon, right? So a gorge is a narrow canyon, right? So it got wider on the bottom than on the top. So if that's the case, how do I measure the chum? By the ground distance or by the distance as the crow flies? Because the crow flies, obviously, it's going to be a kulam. If I go by the ground, where it widens out on the bottom of the basin, so that's a chumra, right? So, if the distance is less than 50 amos, meaning the gap across the Torah top is less than 50 amos, at roe kilu also kilu mole afar v'toros, then you don't look at the river bottom or the bottom of the gorge. You look at the top. You look at it as if it's full of stones and dirt, and you measure only across the top as the crow flies, not the actual distance on the bottom of the gorge. Beloved, if however the width of the gorge on the top is more than 50 amos, at roa so ki misrapis volum misrapis viore, you have to see it as if you are misrapis, which is a corruption of the word for climbing up and down, which in modern Hebrew is mitapes. So misrapes was a test. So misrapes was a tough, is some variation on that that word. So it means you have to go down and up, and you have to measure actually with the smaller ropes, including entire actual distance. Yes, Mr. Zucker. What's the parak about? Which eruv? So why are we measuring? The 2,000 amos extends, right? Because the gorge is wider at the bottom than it is at the top. If you measure the top, it's a leniency. You don't see that? Yeah, but that means you can walk further. You're actually walking more than 2,000 amos. That's right. Yeah, there's no bridge. Yes. Okay. If that helps you understand, then I have no idea what he's talking about. Alright. Haya Nacham Ukam. If there's a if the river is crooked. Now that means that it's very difficult to measure because it's crooked not in not lengthwise but in height wise. So it's hard to measure up and down because sometimes there's a sheer cliff, sometimes it's a gradual descent, sometimes it's rocky. So it's hard to measure going up and down the slope. So mitzupis, you take a mitzupis, which is a surveyor's tool, right? A transit, right? And you use that transit, right? With your eyes to reckon the distance approximately. You don't have to actually measure. You reckon a distance on a flat surface. The bar, then you use that in order to make a reckoning where the mountain is, where you cannot go down and up. So you do it comparatively by a visual sighting as opposed to actually doing a specific measurement. Okay? Rabbi Yach or Rabbi Chi, do you understand how that would work, by the way? Does everybody understand how that works? It's a very interesting thing. The Perush Chai and the Bavli brings it down. If this is my scope, right? And I knew how far 2,000 amos away was from this point by having measured on a flat surface. So I would measure, what I would do is I use my scope and look at that point, and then I would note the angle of my scope. So the angle would be, I'd have a stick to measure my angle. Then I go somewhere else where I put it down where there was a hill and I couldn't actually take an actual distance measure. I would measure the angle of the slope, right? So it would be the same angle I'd use elsewhere. And wherever my view would end, that would be the end of my Tchum Shabbos. Is that clear? That's what he's doing here. Where he can't measure, he takes and measures the angle on the flat surface where he knows where 2,000 amas end, and then he uses the same implement and goes to the hill where he can't measure because of the steepness of the angle, and he sees it, right? Okay, is that clear, Yaakov? So they were not dumb back then. They knew how to do things. So it says, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi China, Rabbi Yir, Mishim, Rabbi Shmuel, Barab Yitzchak, Vushate Mida Yotze Bahar, Arba Tvachim Kdei Mokum. This is a very interesting thing, which we actually had in the Bavli, which is, let me just find the picture for you. If this slope, picture Mem Ches, if this slope is so steep, the slope of the riverbank is so steep that there are not four tfachim between the plumb line, imaginary plumb line, and the angle, right, and the end of the actual slope, so then I don't count those four tfachim. I let them slide. Four tfachim between the imaginary plumb line and the actual slope of the triangle, I just ignore it. I consider as if it's a steep shot. Yeah, I consider such a steep drop as if it's one direct a cliff, and I don't take it into account. Okay? Rabbi Yisrael ben Abishem Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda and Mati, but he said it was the same thing Abishem Rav. Elio Kenega Rosho. Now the Girsa here is kind of messed up. I'm going to use the Girsa of one of the Achronim, the Mecha Mayim, which Lieberman brings down. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yuda, B'Shem Rab, Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Yuda, Matha B'Shem Rab, Elio Kenega Rosho. Now Elio, it's a little bit difficult. Elio means the guy, when we're Mekader Behorim, right? What happens is that I stand here, I'm lower down on the mountain, right? So now, in order to consider me the Elyon, what I do is I hold my rod up like this, right? And you are standing over there higher up on the mountain, so you're holding the same rod opposite your feet, right? The same rod opposite your feet. Is that clear? Right? Because you're higher up on the mountain, right? So since you're higher up, so what I'm holding opposite my head, depending on the angle of the mountain, it's going to come out opposite your feet, right? It may come out somewhere else, and that's the Gemara that we're going to discuss. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, Elio Kenega Rosho, I'm holding the string opposite my head. Vatachlo Kenega Raklov, and you're holding it opposite your feet, right? So, Kol Amamah, the period here is a typo. Kol Amamah, that everybody holds. And this is also a type it should be Shemekadri. In this case, we eliminate the angle, the slope. How do we eliminate the slope? The way I've just demonstrated to you. We've eliminated the slope because we formed an imaginary, this is really basic trigonometry. Not that I remember any trigonometry, but I know that this is trigonometry. What we've done is we've eliminated the slope. Because you're
right angle.
Right.
Like you're drilling a hole in the mountain.
That's how you're drilling a hole in that mountain, right. And the Bafli, right. So a few weeks ago. It's how you're drilling a hole in the mountain because we're eliminating the slope and it's if we're going straight across, right? So that's called Mekadri. So in that case, we definitely do Mekadri. Now, the next word which is missing, it should be Vafilu Elyon Kenega Rosho. Even if I have it opposite my head and you have it not opposite your feet, but at that angle, it must have topped it to your hips, so it's a much more gradual angle. Everybody agrees to do Mekadrin. To eliminate the slope. Ma'pli, and when is there machlokes? Here it should be. There's a whole four words missing. Bayanega Raglov, when I have it, it should be really Batachtov. But same idea. When one of it has opposite his feet and the other guy has a Kenega Libo. I have opposite my feet, I'm the higher guy, the guy who's higher up the mountain. and the other guy is lower down the mountain, it's opposite your heart and my feet. So that already is not so steep a slope. In that case, Raimer Mer Mekatrin, Raimer says we still do Mekatrin. In other words, we hold the rope straight to eliminate the slope. Rabbi Chachor Mer Mekatrin, it's too gradual a slope, and therefore we do not eliminate it. Rather, we measure the ground on the ground as opposed to holding the rope in midair. Okay? Says Rabbi Bava B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Zira B'Shem Baruch Hu said, Ein Mekatrin El Bechevel Shul Chamishim Mamo. It's a very difficult concept. I don't know how they used to do it. They used to take the way we learned till now in the Bavli, and the assumption of the Yerushalmi was you do Mekatrin with a rope of four amos. Every four amos you stand, but he's saying you do Mekatrin with a rope of 50 amos, which is very, very difficult, obviously. So I hold it like over my head, and you hold it at your feet, right? But still, this obviously, if you use a rope of 50 amos for the slope, there's still going to be some slope. You won't be able to eliminate the slope altogether. A rope of 4 amos, you can eliminate the slope altogether, right? But a rope of 50 amos, you can't. I guess he holds you do not eliminate the slope altogether. Only whatever is going to be eliminated using a rope of 50 amos. Okay? Rabbi Bava B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zira B'Shem... Oh, I just said that. Sorry. Rabbi Zira B'Shem Rabbi Chizdoi said, Ein Mekatrin, that was a major typo. I don't know how this happened, but all the important points out, it's a big typo. It should have been, should be the same, it says in Masech de Makos, Ein Mekatrin lo ba'ore levim. Shouldn't be say hori. Should say lo ba'ore levim. We don't do Mekatrin in the cities of Levim. Levim got 2,000 amos around their cities as their own, usable area. In Ari Miklat, around the city, there was 2,000 amos. Also, which would absorb any unintentional murder. You didn't have to get inside the city, you just had to get within 2,000 amos in the city. So in those, you don't say Mekatrin. You don't eliminate the slope. The slope counts as part of the 2,000, right? And furthermore, lo mokem egel aruf, if you're measuring from a dead body to the nearby cities for the egel arufa, in order to see who should bring that animal as a kapara, so then also you don't do Mekatrin. So now, the next Gemara, everybody learns one way. Chaim Kanievsky learns the exact opposite way. I don't know, like everybody. Okay? Nicha kemandam ar elef amo migrosh. Elef migrosh v'abayim tchum Shabbos. There's the mandam who learns that around the city of Levim, there are 1,000 amos empty. Migrosh means empty area. And there were two, and then it says, that because one place it says in the Chumash says Elef Amo. In the other case, the Chumash it says Alpayim Amo. So he says, when it says Elef Amo, that's referring to the actual fields and open area around the city. When it says Alpayim, he says that's referring to Tchum Shabbos. That is the source of the Torah for the Tchum Shabbos. So according to him, I understand how you can have a dichotomy between Ori Levim and between Tchum Shabbos. By Ori Levim, you do not eliminate the slope. By Shabbos you do, but there can be a distinction because there are two separate psukim which teach us each one of these things. However, Barak Mandam are Elef Amo Migrash. Mandam says both psukim, the 1,000, 2,000 refer to your Miklah, and 1,000 is open area, and 2,000 amos is Sadas Akramim is orchard, is vineyards and fields. So there's no separate source for Shabbos. Where did you learn from Tchum Shabbos? You learn now from Mori Levim. In other words, there's no independent drosha for Shabbos. It's all learned out from the Levite cities. So there are 11 Levite cities. No. For the primary source text for the cities of Levim, you don't make Mekatrin. You don't eliminate the slopes. For Shabbos, which is derived from the oil beam, there you're going to eliminate the slopes. That can eliminate the slopes by the derived halacha. If you don't eliminate the slopes in the source halacha. Now, the Ushami doesn't answer the question, but what's the obvious answer? Give me an obvious answer. Why would you eliminate the slopes by Shabbos and not by Tchum Shabbos and not by the Levite cities?
a life and death issue for an ear mikvah.
No, it's more chomer, on the contrary.
Yeah. So you want to make sure they get close to the city before they're safe.
Oh, but normally we're making them in the fossils. You were machmir on him. No. He's making on the Goel Adam. He's machmir on the Rotzeach.
Right.
Come on, give me a simple answer. You guys aren't thinking. Is there a real drasha at Chum Shabbos? It's a drabana. The drasha is not real. It's an asmachta. So therefore, Ari Levim is a din. The raisa. The Chum Shabbos is a din. The rabana. Do you see the answer? By Chum Shabbos, they were lenient. They were mekatrin. They limited the slopes. Because the din derabbanan, supposed to be Levim, which is in the right, so there they were machmir. The Ushami didn't bother giving the answer, it's a partial answer. Okay? The Ushami goes on to left field. When I actually look over, it's Mark McGuire for you, play left field. What position does he play?
He hits the left field.
Yeah, the Yaiva. When I actually look over, how do you know B'tchum Ari Levim? They couldn't make a cemetery in the Tchum of the Ari Levim. How do you know that? Rabbi Abdel B'Shem, Rabbi Yisrael Ben Chayin, says, Migrashem Yulvahemtom, the open areas should be for animals, Ulchol Chayosam, and for all their behemoths and Chayos, the different kinds of animals. B'ridashin, L'chayim Nitu V'lo Nitnu L'kvaros, to give for life and not for death. The truth is, if you have a Kohen who's a murderer, and you have Pesach Foruses in your Migrash Ir Levim, right, then he's not going to be able to get home free so easy. So, of course, they're going to put any cemeteries within the 2,000 miles of the city. Okay? Ein modi melamina mumcha. You only measure from an expert. Riba l'mokamecho, to be l'mokamecho, what are the experts inconsistent? One place he made a lot, 2,000 amas seemed more, another place seemed less. So show me Lamar, but we go off to the place where he gave more. Lukula. I feel ever a filo shivcha. Now even a slave, even female, the Amoin Lamar can't chum Shabbos, they can say chum Shabbos came to here. El Shalom, Ruchachoy Medover Lahachmir, El Lahakil, coming by chum Shabbos and never Machmir, they're only Makil, as we'll see in the Gemara, you all know why already. A hedge of Chiriba and Tremlo, wherever, this is only if an expert was more lenient. What if a commoner measured and he came out more lenient than the expert? Then you gotta follow the expert. On Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua said, not true, you have come to the end of Tchum Shabbos. Which is a saying, you know. It's not, it doesn't mean he literally stood at Tchum Shabbos. Think about what Chum Shabbos is. She'ena mechuvarim divetar. They're not clearly deraisa. So even if a commoner tells you more than the expert, go after the commoner. What do you care? Chum is rabbanon anyway, right? It says more now. Once he mentioned that, we go off on a little tangent. Ramona stated, nicha pa'i ma'amayin mechuvar. But Abbas al-Bi lofi mechuvaru. What is 4,000 amas mechuvar? Is 4,000 amas to raisa? Obviously, says more no. Rabbi Acha said, "Ein l'cham mechuvar mechulam." There's no one which is clear to raisa el tchum shteimasar mil kamach in Israel, other than 12 mil, which was the shear of the mach in Israel in the midbar. Malachay Irshol Yochi. Now, this is one of the most ambiguous mishnayos in both Bavli and Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is no worse than the Bavli. It's ambiguous in both. Ir shel yochid shenasi shel rabbis. A city which was of a solitary individual, which became a city of a masses. Now, there are a gazillion different perushim in the Rishonim and what this means. Does it mean a city which belonged to belong ownership of an individual and now belongs to the public? Does it mean a city which was a Rishus HaYachid in terms of how many people traversed it and now became Rishus HaRavim? Right? And so there are many other variations on that, on those themes. So we'll learn like the other, the second shot. That it used to be a city of Rishus HaYachid, and now it's a city of Rishus HaRabbi. Never used to have Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabbi, now it does. So Marvin is cool, you can make an Erev in all of it. Because it started out being a city without Rishus HaYachid, even now Rishus HaRabbi, it still retains the flavor of a small town city, and therefore you can make an Erev throughout all of it. However, what if you had a big metropolis? Sherabi, where you couldn't have made it originally an Eruv. Shanaz and Shiochi now became a city of a small population. Ain Malvin at school, well, you can't make an Eruv on the entire city. And you can't unless also law, unless you left a remnant over. Ki'ir Chadosh Shem Yehuda, like Neustadt in Yehuda. Right? If they're hungry, they would have called it Neustadt. Was in Yehuda, so it was called Ir Chadosh, right? So, like Ir Chadosh of Yehuda, Sheish Mechamishim Diurim, which had 50 dwellings. In other words, in order to be considered, you can't, since it was once considered to be a city with a Rishus HaRabim. Now, not everybody's going to realize it was a city without a Rishus HaRabim, that it diminished in size, and it dipped under the population level, right? Reminds me of Detroit. So the so not every city is not everybody's going to know that. So therefore, as a heker, you have to leave an area which doesn't have we don't make it don't include in the eruv, which is 50 units, 50 houses. Right, there. Not so many. You only have to leave three courtyards, each of which has two houses, which means six houses altogether. That's the remnant you have to leave over. Okay? Tani B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's a very interesting word. Instead of name Rabbi Yehuda, there's arguments on the Bavli. Ein ma'arvin osachetzi. You can't make two half-Arabin in an Irshel Rabbi, the city of masses. So there's more. Why not? V'chavashit said Rabbi Yehuda. We see Rabbi Yehuda says you can make half-Arabin. In other words, not the entire city has to be under the Eruv. You can make a sectional Eruv in the city. The time of Rabbi Chiyo taught us, Ketzavati Rishus HaRabim, how do you make an Eruv in Rishus HaRabim? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lechi Mikan, Lechi Mikan. All you need is a Lechi on either side of Rishus HaRabim. Right? He was very makel in how to make an Eruv in Rishus HaRabim. Or, Koyra Mikan, Koyra Mikan, all you need is a beam on either side. Right? But you need both. A lechi and korah on this side. Oh no. Yeah, need lechi and korah on this side, both. And both the tzuris the best, and we kind of make it tzuris the best. So I think I was wrong about that. Either or. Either make a lechi korah one side, lechi or korah on one side. On the other side, however, need to have a tzuris ha-pesach. Okay? Now there, wherever Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds, he's making the Eruv in Rishus HaRabim within the city. That means I can isolate parts of the city and make an Eruv around them. Yet here Rabbi Yehuda says I can't make an Eruv on two halves separately. It's either the entire city or not. How do we reconcile this two statements of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda on one hand says, sounds like you can break off segments of the city. On the other hand, it sounds like he says, you can't break off segments of the city. So I reconcile these two opinions. Says the Gemara, Lo Adai Samras. The truth is in our Mishnah, a city which has Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Yehuda agrees you can make Eruv in it, a section Eruv in it. His contention was was another thing altogether. Lo Adai Samras El Adai. He said it concerning this. A few Ir Gedoy Lekant Yoichu, Vein Ale El Adelis Achas Bilvad, Ma'arvin Aleh. Even if a great city like Antiochia, but only has one door, you can make an Eruv there. This is a fascinating case, really. You have here Here's Antiochia. That was bad. Alright, so it's got one gate. It's a major city with one gate. What makes Rosh Hashanah, by the way?
It's a walled city.
Yes, yeah, so what makes Rosh Hashanah? What must it have within the city? In order to be Rosh Hashanah. Because it's Rosh Hashanah, it's not Mefulash. So it doesn't have a highway. What must it have instead? A plaza. A central plaza, right? A platio. There's a sitio that's a highway, and a platio, a plaza. So Antiochia must have had a plaza somewhere in the middle, right? So it was Rosh Hashanah. But nonetheless, it had one door, and that one door could be closed. So they could make an eruv there, okay? So however, says, you can make an eruv on it. You can't make an eruv on half of it. Those are fascinating concepts. Let's say these guys over here. They want to make an eruv. Doesn't work. Why doesn't it work?
Because the guys in the back have to come through the front.
Very good. Anybody hear what Dr. Spadel said? Because the guys in the back have to come through the front to get out of the city. So that's called Drisas Regel Oseres. They have the right to walk through to get to the other side, and therefore the Eruv is not a good Eruv. Okay? I wrote everything upside down, sorry. You got the idea, right? So says the Gemara, however, I'm Rabbi Yossi Adamara. This teaches us, B'nei Mavish Nosnu Karosan. There's a big, big typo. The Rosh changes it to Ba'emtza. Now, this is talking about the same idea with the Mavli. Let's say here we got our Mavli. And here we have Chatzeros. Okay, we have four Chatzeros on this Mavli. We put a Korah over here. The middle guys put their Korah over here. The guys back here, put their car over here. Is that good?
It's good for them, but it's not.
It's good for them, bad for them, right? That's what bad about me. Elu mutarim ve'elu asurim. The ones on the inside are okay, they get a check. Ones on the outside are no good, they get an X. Okay? However, Ketzer was Nasnu, sorry. Elu ve'elu. This is where it argues on the Bavli. What if these guys put up one of the two? What would you say in this case? Now they're two. What would you say?
The Bavli still said that you couldn't. The guys in the back. Yeah, it's good. Right.
Right. You would say that it's good for the guys in the back, but not the guys in the front. But it says, Yerushalmi, Elu ve'elu asurin. They're both asur. Why? Because when these guys, it must be, I have no other way of explaining it. When the outer guys were passive, so we didn't have to take them into account. They were asur and they remained asur. But now that they're active, they want to make trouble. They want to make Eruv too. So there, and of course, they cannot make an Eruv without the inner guys, because the inner guys have reached Drisus Regel on them, yet they did not contract the Eruv with the inner guys. They want to be separate. Here, everybody asus and everybody else. Nobody gets the carry. Elu ve'elu asur. Fascinating thing, right?
Yeah, because the outer guys are not going to go inside to the inner court.
Yeah, but
why they
no, because of their attempt. Oh, come on, it's not completely illogical. They now want to have an Eruv. Because then they're as if they don't exist. Right. They've set up a faulty Eruv, but they tried to make an Eruv. That array makes them enough to make trouble, even though it doesn't make them matter. I admit I wouldn't have thought that way, neither does Yubavli, but that's it with Yushami's logic, okay? So what are they? Nosu Eluv Eluv, Eluv Eluv Asurin. Ketzerosu, so what can you do? Nosu Yisakor, Pesach Amov, Matas Amovli. Take out this one. The eighth is to take out the middle Korah, the middle beam, and only have one on the outside and join together. In Yana the Yoyma, workers of the world unite. So therefore they have to... I don't see why that makes it better for you than the way I explain it, because you so then even if there's no core on the outside, the core on the inside shouldn't work. Good. All right. I still like my shot better, but I certainly can't argue with Gourmet. Yeah, I mean, it's good. That makes sense. Okay, says Gemara, again, Chamisha Mavos, the same idea. Just instead of having Chatzeros, you have five Mavos emptying up into one, and emptying into one Mavli. Instead of Chatzer, 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 you have Mavli, 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 and one Mavli in the back. Okay, five Mavos around. So, they put their core in the middle of the main movi. Elim will turn the ones behind the core and will turn the ones outside of us. They both can put up koros, both the inner and outer guys. So again, whatever reason, my reason, the carbonated reason, it messes everything else. Everything up. Ketzeros, so what do? Notice the core of Pesach HaMovi. You put the core on the outermost part of the movi, of the main. Mavli, you mat this Mavli, you allow the Mavli. Okay? Chadrei Pinchas, one time, it's a word missing in the Korban, puts it one time. Right? Pinchas Salak Lacha, he came up to here, I guess he came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Chazav Pesach, the Sakta Gzura, so he went to the opening of the marketplace of the Marlin. It was a marketplace just for Marlin. So he saw that they have an open, they had a Turetz of Pesach, or a Kaira at the opening of their marketplace. And I want to tell you a very interesting thing, which I saw at the Chasna I was at last night. So somebody came up to me and started talking to me about Erevin. He asked me, what's the little camp of Turetz of Pesach where there's an archway on top instead of a straight line across the top? So I didn't have a specific Gemara. I know the Achronim are making on this. They didn't have a specific Gemara. But Liran brings down that the Rishonim here are Goritz. The gift was instead of Bepesach the sack to Shakta da Kazuroi, it says Kafta, a keeper, a keepsa. So he said explicitly that it was an arch. So it was too late for me to tell the guy last night. It was off by a day. But keepsa means an arch, and there was an arch at the opening. Now he said, this is bad for you guys. I'm going to chilakti meruvchem. You divide up your ear from everybody else. And that's bad, right? How can you divide beer from anybody else? Manavshach, right? If they're trying to make an Eruv, and you're the rest of the city, whatever city it was, I don't know what city it was, right? And you're trying to make an Eruv, so you got to join together. You can't separate from them. If you separate from them, then you also one on the other. That's the whole principle we just learned. If I'm trying to make an Eruv, you're trying to make an Eruv, and we don't get together, then we answer on each other, because the Trisos Regalo Zeres. So you mess everything up by having a separate Eruv to yourself. That's the concept. By them trying to make their own Eruv, they mess everybody else up. Themselves up and everybody else up. So they said, no. He said, Fashion, Amalei Rav Yehuda Bar Shom L'chizuk Batim Nasis. This is not a Kira of an Eruv. You know, I look at wires and I see Eruvin. They said, that's your problem. This happens to be a bona fide Korah, or bona fide archway. It's not a Tzuris HaPesach of an Eruv. It's a Tzuris HaPesach because there's a doorway there which required a door. So we're not attempting to set up our own Eruv distinct from the rest of the city, in which case it would cause those sort of problems. What do you want to say? Yeah. No. Oh, carpenters. That makes sense. Oh, you're right. Okay. I didn't see that. Didn't notice the Pnei Moshe. Sorry. Okay. Elkei Rosa Chutzu Akir Chadosh Shal Yehuda. Should be Yehuda. When you have an ear show, Rabbi came Shal Yochid. Need to have a remnant. So we said 50 houses. Elkei. So it says Mark going Nan v'Chadosh Mikdal God. All these sheish was a big typo injury. Chamishim Dirim, all of them had 50 inhabitants. I feel unless you're top, 50 inhabitants do not have to be males. It can be. Even men, women, and children. Rava Asiya Maravadi, so they got to be Jews. Rabba my mem and Shem Barachia B'Shem Rav said the Pesuchim Misoyel. It's got to be that the extra 50. Are open into the main city, and you nonetheless don't include them as the hacker. Our mother, my mother said, we came to the Pesuch of the Tocha, Nasakulu Shusachas. No. If it's open into the main city, so it's not distinct anymore. It has to be a distinct area which we don't include. So somehow it's got to be like a neighborhood unto itself, not just houses which are attached to the general Eruv. All right. In any event, says the Gemara for the Melacha for them. Mishoya b'Mizrach. So it was on the east. Varma lebno la'ariv lo b'marav and told the son to make an Erev on the west. B'marav was on the west. Varma lebno li'ariv. Yeah. What? It's a kasha. Yeah, he said it can't be open. It has to be a separate, distinct area. Right? Because if it's shusachatz, it's not a heker. Right? Something like that. Maybe I gave it wrong, but I think that's what it means. No, Pnei Moshe says I'm wrong. Pnei Moshe says it's mamish, like there's a case like this in the Bavli. It says if it's a reshus achas, then it's pashut that it's a shir. That's pashut. In other words, what I'm not saying is if these houses are part of the main reshus sitting out, it's partial that that's good. It's even if they're separate and distinct, even if they're a separate neighborhood, they're still considered to be a shear. Or it's don't think that the remnant which you leave over not included there has got to be a separate neighborhood, which is partial that it's fine. It's even if it's part of the regular neighborhood and you left them out, that's good enough. Okay? Because even though it's not so apparent that it's distinct, that's sufficient in order to be the exception which proves the rule, so to speak. Okay. Again, Alachavav. Mishab and Mizrach Bamar live no live lo Marav. He was in the east and told his son to make an Erev on the west. The Marav is in the west, run no live lo Mizrach told him to make an Erev on the east. Yeshmin Abesla Pai Mamma. Now, Gemara is going to point out it makes no sense the way the Mishnah is written. So, this is really what the Mishnah is talking about. I'm over here, Rabbi Isai. That's me. Here's my house. 2,000 amos to my house. I tell my son to make another Eruv. I tell him to make an Eruv, not this direction. But I have to make an Eruv over here. Okay? He makes an Eruv over in this direction. Which, let's say, is westerly of where are my houses. Or vice versa, it could be easterly of where my house is. So west and east don't mean the opposite direction of where I am, but rather away from the direction where I am, veering off to another angle of the compass, right? So Ishmael Beisel Apai Mama, if let's say to my house there are 2,000 amos, and today there are 3,000 amos, right? So in that case, Mutzah Beis, so you can go to this house. Vaseruv, now let's go to the Eruv. Vice versa, Eruv Alpai Mamah, the 2,000 amos to the Eruv. Ubeisvius we got into the house and more than 2,000 amos. Mutarev, we got to go there, but the base of knowledge to go back to your house. Hanosi say Ruvo be Burish, if you put your Eruv within the first 70 amos of the city, you're a klutz. You gain barely nothing anyway, but you gain nothing. Loss of klum doesn't work. Because within the carpet of the city, it's different than the city, it doesn't do any good. Once you put it outside those 70 amos, masha niskar, whatever you gain, who mops it, you lose in the other direction. Okay, say you put it 500 amos outside the city, then you got 500 extra amos in that direction, you lost 500 amos in the other direction away from the city, the other side. So that's what I mean. Kasha makshile bar nabarkapora, for the kasha which bar kapora asks, which we'll see in a moment, the Mizrach, we are forced to say Mizrach means Mizrach Beno, east means east of his son, and Lamara Beno, or west of his son. In other words, this is not on the other opposite direction, but slightly away from the direction towards his house. So what's Bar Kapora's question? The following. Bar Kapora said, assuming that the Mishnah is Kipshuto, and that you told your son, put your Eruv back here somewhere, right? The other direction from where I'm going to walk. So it says, I understand what it says, if there, to his house is 2,000 amos, and to his Eruv more than 2,000 amos, but the base of us, Eruv, it's not allowed to go to his house, but not allowed to go to his Eruv. Le Ruba, Pai Mamala, base of Yeser Mikan. However, it's to his Eruv, there's 2,000 amos. And to his house is more than that, Mutter lebeso leruvo, Mutter leruvo lebeso osir, then his mutter go to the Zeruv, and to his house it's osir. Isn't that obvious? What's the chiddush in that case? Not so happy with that Gemara's question. One second. I don't know if I'm so happy the way I explained the Gemara's question. I might be wrong. Just a second. Yeah, that's not the Gemara's having me. Okay, the Gemara's having me was not like this. That the Eruv is in a completely other direction, but the Gemara's Havmina was that, here's my house, and it says, let's go back, look at the Mishnah again, Mishnah ben Mizrach, v'amar liv no arev lo b'marov, right, make an Eruv to my west, marav v'amar liv no arev lo Mizrach, ish me the basis, so apay ma'amu l'beir v'yos mikan, mutu l'beis, well, I'm still not explaining it well. It's not apparent from the Mishnah what the Avmina was. I thought it would be apparent, but it's not. What he's saying is that the Eruv, how should I, the Perish Chai had a good picture of this. All he's saying is that the difference has to be like this, that there has to be an angle away from the imaginary line. Because it can't be that he was telling his son, make an Eruv to me in this in the same direction as my house. Because the same direction as my house, so I understand the ratio it says, if there's 2,000 amos to the house, and there's a roof more than that, then he can't get to his a roof, right? Because if the a roof is over here, and this is already 2,000 amos, so he can't get over to his a roof anymore, because he already uses 2,000 amos to get to his house. But I don't understand what it says in the sefer. If you're going to say to the Eruv is 2,000 amos, right? Let's say this is the Eruv. And then the house is beyond that. Is only allowed to go to his Eruv and not to his house. Right. In this case, the question is like this, I think. So this is advantage of preparing a few minutes before they give shir. But I think what the question is like this. The question is that he can't have been a klutz enough to have told his kid to put an eruv beyond his house if not necessary, right? Obviously not. So how is it possible to have a case where it's going to be this eruv of 2,000 amos and his house more than that?
No, I still don't have a right.
All right, let's leave it for tomorrow night because I'm not going to figure out in the 2 minutes before Marv, not saved by Marv or ruined by Marv, because I couldn't figure it out. We'll get it for